Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Hey guys, it's Greg here. Welcome to another episode of the Midlife Male Podcast. Before we get into this, I just want to let you know I have launched a new website. Midlifemale.com is now live. Thank you guys so much for all of your support and the help to make this happen. The podcast, the newsletter, my coaching programs continue to grow, and I'm super excited and proud of the new website. So go over to midlifemale.com and check that out. You can learn more about my performance coaching program. You can download a copy of my No BS guide for free. You can subscribe to the newsletter and podcast if you haven't already. You can go to my brand partners page and check out the exclusive offers and discounts from the Midlife Male brand partners such as Roan, Athletic Greens, Huron, Verb Labs, Inside Tracker, Sunlight and Saunas, Strong Coffee, and more. These are my personal favorites, curated products and brands that I love, I use, and recommend to you guys. Now, let's get on with the podcast. All right, guys, Greg Scheinman here. It is another episode of the Midlife Male Podcast. Thank you for joining me this week and every week. I really appreciate it. I'm recording this on Veterans Day. This intro, recorded the podcast with Jason Tushin a few weeks back, but ironically, I'm recording the intro today. Happens to be Veterans Day. Thank you to all of our veterans for their service. Really means a lot. We should take care of our veterans. We need to give to those who have given so much to us. And this episode in particular means a lot to me to get Jason Tushin on the show. Jason's a hero. Jason is a warrior. Jason is a former Navy SEAL devoted to protecting and defending our country. He was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He graduated from Whitefish Bay High School in 88. 1990, he enlisted in the Navy. Basically, go to jail or go to the Navy, you'll hear from him. In 92, he completed BUDS training in Coronado, California, and was assigned to SEAL Team 3. He had multiple deployments and was selected for assignment to Naval Special Warfare Development Group, where he served as an operator and later a leader for an 18-man assault force. Take you through his backstory a little bit here. In 2001, he took an assignment as an instructor at the Naval Special Warfare Center, spent the next 2 years teaching tactics to future SEAL operators and leaders. Upon completion of that assignment, he transferred to SEAL Team 7, where he was the senior enlisted advisor for an 80-person task force responsible for leading the team through pre-deployment training and a follow-up deployment to Baghdad, Iraq. Upon return from that deployment, he was promoted to Master Chief Petty Officer and put in charge of first phase at BUDS. After another successful tour at BUDS, he spent the next decade, that's decade, in executive leadership positions throughout Naval Special Warfare, culminating at Naval Special Warfare Group 1, where he served as the Command Master Chief responsible for 2,000 personnel, 4 SEAL teams, and 5 ancillary commands focused on executing national security strategy in the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and the Korean Peninsula. In January of 2018, Jason transitioned from a 27-year career in the military to the private sector. Along with another retired SEAL, he founded Randori Inc., in order to help develop the leaders and cultures of organizations ranging from startup to well-established companies, and he is now the CEO of a tech startup, Scilabs. He is a husband. He is a father. He is a surfer. He and his family are currently residing out in San Diego, California. I had a chance to meet Jason at my buddy Seamus Mullen's house. We were doing an event out there talking about health, wellness, longevity, sustainability, anti-aging. Had a chance to meet Jason and his buddy, also former SEAL, Santos Trujillo, out there. Hit it off. Grateful, appreciative for his service. Invited him on the podcast, and he was gracious enough to come on and share his story and really talk a lot about his health and changes that he had to make in his lifestyle, in his diet, in his supplementation routine to be able to perform at a very high level and now into his 50s. Super guy, incredible human being, incredible athlete, incredible warrior. Let's hear from Jason Tushin on the Midlife Male podcast. Could not be more appreciative of your time. Thank you so much for your service. It was a pleasure and a privilege to meet you a couple of weeks back Malibu at the Opt Health event. And now you are here. So Jason, welcome and thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a ton, Greg. I mean, that was a cool event. And I appreciate those kind words.
Absolutely. And certainly earned. So guys, we were out in California a couple of weeks ago at my buddy Seamus Mullen's house in Malibu. Thank you, Shay. Great chef, amazing author, super healthy guy, and a great place. Super grateful to be, to be out there. And the event was with a company called Opt Health, really talking about sustainability, longevity, for men, and I'm, you guys all know this, I'm 48, I'll be 49 at the end of the year. Jason, how old are you right now?
51.
51. Okay. And again, incredible background as a Navy SEAL, surfing, athletic, everything, prime health of his life. And we were out there with a lot of great, great guys also. And we just started talking about the purpose, of this and taking care of yourself and the life lessons, mistakes maybe we've made earlier on, in our life, how we've continued to try to learn, evolve, grow, and be able to perform at this age and stage and make really the next phase better because we can live healthier, stronger, longer. We were just talking before we started rolling about, again, the missed opportunity of health and wellness and things as it relates to COVID and immunity and longevity. And we'll dive into that. But I'd love to learn a little bit more about your personal health journey, especially with being as active. I mean, it doesn't get any more fit and challenging and difficult than being a Navy SEAL. So I got to imagine this is a high priority,
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so as a little kid, whatever reason, I was always drawn to athletics, fitness, nutrition. I think part of it, I started competitive swimming when I was like five. And so, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I love the mental aspect of it as much as the physical in that, it's swimming to me is the most honest sport there is because only you know if you're given 100%. The coach can sit there and look at you and go, oh yeah, you're putting out, but you might have been sandbagging a little bit or leaving some in the tank. And so it's just, you can't really lie to yourself. So I love that aspect of the sport. Concurrently, when I was, I was probably six or seven, my mom tried to go back to school and she took a nutrition course at the local college. And I just found that stuff fascinating. So that was always kind of my, that's how I got, focused and started in fitness and nutrition. And then, high school rolled around and I was a hellion, man. I was bad. And I rebelled at everything. But I think that bode well for me in that I questioned everything anybody in authority said, always. And I still do to this day. And sometimes that's a pain in the ass in the military, but I think there's some wisdom in doing that. But really, you know, through high school and out of high school for a couple of years, pretty destructive behavior and, you know, drinking a lot and whatever else and getting into scrums. And then I found the SEAL teams. And actually, the guy who did all my tattoos or most of them sat me down one day and said, "You got two choices, man. And both of them, you know, entail you going to the recruiter. Just one's me dragging you there, or you doing it on your own volition." I told him what I thought of the idea, and he's a big dude, decked me. And so the next day I walked over to the recruiter and joined up. And when I went to the Navy recruiter because my aunt happened to be in the Navy, and I was like, check them out. And she had mentioned the diving community, you know, because I was a swimmer. Never heard of the SEALs. And they played some SEAL video, and they showed a clip of Hell Week in it. And I'm like, sold. I want to do that. And so I ended up doing that. And the culture there, certainly, you know, it's hard to simulate combat in training, right? And to see what people are made of, but you can physically push them to the breaking point, mentally and physically, and you can get a good sense of how they're going to react under stress, both physical and mental stress. So life is easier in the SEAL teams, or going through training at least, the better fit you are. So you had some really phenomenal athletes. I mean, you look at guys like David Goggins, you know, ultra marathon runner. Of course, when he went through training, man, he was pretty yoked, probably about 50 pounds heavier of muscle, but like really ridiculously good athletes. You know, some were, you know, competitive, you know, like NCAA type athletes. Others were just genetic mutants or because they had, you know, they learned through training and through their time in the SEAL teams how to tap into their genetic potential, which was kind of cool. But so it really was a culture of certainly part of it was being in shape, right? You know, you don't want to be a fat frogman who falls back on a rucksack hump. You know, your name is mud after that. So that was kind of where I was at. And then 2005, I was in Iraq. Or 2004, 2005, I was leading a task unit, you know, 32 SEALs. And a couple of the young guys, I remember in 2004, were getting in this thing called CrossFit. And I'm like, looking at it. And it kind of frightened me because I didn't know how to deadlift. Didn't know how to power clean. And so I was like, I don't know about that. I'll stick with my push-ups, pull-ups, running, and swimming. And then in 2005, towards the end of the deployment in Iraq, I was kind of disgusted with the shape I was in. So I let the young guys talk me into doing a workout. It was like one of the original benchmarks. It was like the 21:15:9 power clean and ring dips. And I went like, you know, they had me scale it down to like 75 pounds. And I couldn't believe how humbling that was. And so I was like, okay, this is something I suck at. So I need to get good at. And I started really getting into it. And then it's kind of funny at least back then with CrossFit, you really honed in on the diet piece as much as anything else. So then I started, you know, doing the paleo, the zone diet was what they're preaching at the time. And kind of concurrently, that book, Good Calories, Bad Calories, came out. I first saw it in 2006. I have a brother-in-law who's a radiologist. And he sent me the book. And, you know, in the cover, he wrote, "Hey, this is the most important medical book I've read in recent history." I'm like, cool. So, and I started doing that. And then I really started getting into it because I noticed I changed my diet to a very much more low-carb paleo, you know, it's sometimes in and out of ketosis, but a lower-carb, a really strict paleo diet. And, you know, I'd be like a Mark's Daily Apple Primal Blueprint, I guess, type ratio of food. And man, like immediately I could see like improvements in benchmarks and all the CrossFit stuff. So like physically I could see by eating this way, my performance improved dramatically. You know, I had plateaued at everything and all of a sudden it's constant improvements. And the other thing I noticed is, man, I quit getting sick. I used to have allergies that were, you know, would kick my ass, and allergies are gone. You know, I haven't been sick once in, you know, since 2006, man. I can't remember the time. And, you know, I have young kids. I did at the time. They're older now. But, you know, the kids, their petri dish is going to school, especially at the start of the school year. And, like, they'd be down hard, and I'm feeling fine. And so that just really got me on to being very passionate about it. I mean, it's you know, certain things I liked for a release, we all need to have them. It's, you know, for me, it's surfing, it's fitness, it's cooking, and it's nutrition. And they're all kind of interconnected, but it just sent me down a road. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, you get out with the military, and when you get out, they do a ton of, you know, we had a radiologist as a doctor, so he's like, hey man, you're getting everything checked from head to toe, and you start doing MRIs, just like, Jesus Christ, you know, you light up like a Christmas tree, you know, everything's torn or fraying, and so I'm like, okay, I gotta start really looking at longevity. My body's kind of rode hard, put away wet, and I could still perform at a high level, you know, using like CrossFit Games as a benchmark, I guess. You know, I was doing the master stuff. I'd make at least the second round and, you know, top 200. But, I had to be smarter about what I was doing. So I started getting smarter with training and nutrition. Right as I was getting out, though, I found, I did a cardiac CT and had some blockage. I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, I've been eating clean. And so that really, it freaked me out a bit. And then, so I started researching it more and more, and, you know, I was adopted. And so I didn't really know the genetic history. Well, I found that out, and okay, I should have had a heart attack in my 40s. So I didn't. So I'm, you know, beating the odds there. And then I narrowed it down, but I was still kind of stuck. And then kind of like serendipitous, Santos, who unfortunately couldn't make it on this call, introduced me to the, Opt Health. And so I was like, yeah, this looks really cool, man. And I did it and started talking to the doctors and was able to, it was so rad being around doctors who are open-minded and are up to date. You know, they don't just regurgitate the conventional dogma. They actually read studies and open their eyes and look. I mean, that's what science is, you know, like looking and making a hypothesis, observation, form your hypothesis, and then test it. And it was just cool, like, talking to them and go, hey, this is what I think is the root cause of that blockage. And I go, I'd like to get this one genetic test. And they signed off on it. And lo and behold, yeah, it's exactly what I thought it was. I carry the APO E3-4 allele, which is... make, you know, 85% of Alzheimer's cases have that, but your body does not metabolize saturated fat real well. And okay, cool. You know, now that I know that, I've been able to refine my diet to optimize health and lifestyle. And man, you know, since I did that, I've never felt better. And I'm, you know, I wish I'd figured this stuff out, you know, 26 years ago instead of being 51 and figuring it out, but I'll take it. You know, I can still hold my own. So.
Yeah, it's such a great point, though, about figuring it out. You know, you can't look back. You can only look ahead.
Yeah.
And taking, you know, well, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a science guy, you know? Again, I mean, you're not a scientist. But what I think comes across that, what we want to know is we'd like to actually have some knowledge. We'd like to find some people, okay, some organizations that we can trust and that we can believe in so that we can get the knowledge and information and then be able to do something with that data to positively change our lives. Now, yep. Do I wish I knew things certainly in my 20s and my 30s and even early 40s, you know, that I know now. But to your point, it's never too late. And if we are doing the right things, and there are new things right now that are being, you know, proven,
yeah,
effective, then we can be living better, stronger, you know, faster, oh, yeah, healthier, you know, and for much, much longer. You know, that's here. And when you think about guys like yourself who are at the pinnacle of fitness, and also at the, I would say at the pinnacle, and on top of just, you know, physical health, what you alluded to earlier was, you know, how you deal with stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge.
And anybody at your level that has become a SEAL and spent 27 years there, and we'll get into this a little bit. I mean, everybody's a physical stud, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah.
We talked about this, you know, earlier. And it's now, okay, beyond the physical studs, who can manage stress, you know, who can push through, you know, mentally into these areas with stress, such a contributing factor to health issues.
Oh, completely.
I mean, I would just hypothesize there that guys who can handle and manage stress and anxiety better and have mechanisms for it are inherently healthier, of course, you know, than those of us who are just in day-to-day life stressing out over, you know, our jobs, you know, the kids, everything, compared to the stressful situations that you and your teammates, you know, find yourself in, which I can't even fathom, and are able to operate in those environments.
Mm-hmm. It's the excess cortisol screaming through your system throughout that time frame, it wreaks havoc on your body, you know? And so I look at it like, you know, from the physical health point of view, I think that decision to kind of switch to a paleo diet probably saved my life. Had I eaten the way the healthy whole grains and all that crap, I probably would have keeled over from a heart attack in my 40s. So I probably prevented that. And now I know going forward what to do. And currently, you know, I wish I had better mechanisms for dealing with the mental stress, you know, because then I could have kept the cortisol down. I mean, even something as simple as just taking 10 minutes and breathing and not thinking about anything. What a remarkable way to reduce stress and blood pressure and all that. The mental health aspect, though, is you can't do one without the other, in my opinion. And I think they go hand in hand. And, you know, I've taken it so far as gone down and done in Mexico, you know, the psychedelic treatments for it. And, you know, which helps with stress and brain injury or whatever else, which we, you know, anybody, certainly in SEAL teams, has to some varying degree. And, it was uncomfortable and unpleasant, but it was, come out of it like a new person and kind of reset your pathways in your brain. And I've noticed, stress and, or my ability to deal with stress, since then has been remarkably improved. So there's stuff there, but I mean, you don't need to go to that extreme of, you know, taking Ibogaine, which is 12 hours getting poked in the chest. It felt like, but find the coping mechanism, be mindful, just enjoy, you know, get outside, just being outside away from the computer, or turning off your phone and just breathing or observing things. It's amazing how that seems to, you know, counteract all the cortisol going through our brains. We just creates unnecessary stress for ourselves all the time. And being mindful of that, and then find ways to, for yourself, you know, mechanisms to reduce that are absolutely critical. It's just as important as eating the right food and doing the right types of workouts, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I believe it's all, again, connected. You know, we were doing some really basic things at the weekend, you know, in Malibu. But again, they're applicable, you know, to everyday life. And I think there are absolutely techniques that can be utilized at a super, super high and intense level, you know, there. And then there are, again, you know, civilian applications of the same techniques or similar techniques that can be used by guys in everyday life that are dealing with their own levels of stress or not living you know, the healthiest of lives, or trying to be able to regain focus, regain health, increase anxiety, you know, increase longevity, decrease anxiety, those things. I mean, we were experimenting with some breath work while we were out there. We were experimenting with even just physical adjustments, you know, muscle activation technique.
You're
experimenting with cold. You know, there's hot and cold and contrast therapy, and then you add exercise into that, and then you add nutrition into all of those things. And then we'll get into the science and the opt health and the, you know, actually, hey, what's going on inside of our bodies? What do we find out? Because we can't out-train genetics, you know,
yeah.
certain things like that. And we are all getting older. So how do we want to live longer, again, healthier? And those things. One thing I wanted to ask you about though is, because I'm fascinated by this, and again, having no idea or understanding of the inner workings of the life that you have lived, transitioning out of the military after 27 years to civilian life.
Right.
How could you take me through a little bit of that transition? I just think like does anything stress you out like in California compared to, you know, like everything that you were embedded in?
Yeah, things stress me out still, certainly. Get into it. I mean, private sector is equally as stressful and annoying at times as things in the military can be. But it was for me, I absolutely love going to work every day. I most of the people were just, I loved them. There's always a handful that you care less about, but you know, it's a fantastic environment, great people. And I enjoyed going to work every day. There's kind of two reasons why I decided to get out. I could have done a few really cool things. One was, I was supposed to go out to Hawaii and take a senior leadership position. And, the family kind of wanted to do it and I did. My in-laws needed some help, and it would have been too hard to, at that time, it would have been the wrong time to, leave them without us here. And so I had said no to the job, and I told myself if I ever said no, to a job, I would drop my papers and get out. So I believe in integrity, and that's what I said I would do. And I think that was the right thing to do. The second one, and more important one, in my opinion, was I was way too comfortable. Like nothing surprised me at work anymore. And there, guys can come up with some crazy ways to get into trouble, and like it just didn't even faze me anymore. And so to me, being uncomfortable or being comfortable in any role is just a dangerous place to be. It leads to complacency. And I caught myself getting too comfortable at work. And so I needed a major change to kind of reinvigorate my motivation and learn something new. So made the decision and was going through a process for getting out. We had like a thing called the Honor Foundation, which helps transition special operators to the private sector. And we're sitting through a resume class, and a business partner and coworker, we're sitting, I'm like, I'm not going to go work for anybody. And he's like, yeah, me either. So we started our own business, and through, a series of fortunate events, we ended up where we were at. So the entire time I was uncomfortable, and that I think made the transition really easy. A lot of people, when they get out from that long of a period, it's almost like their whole identity is wrapped up as a SEAL or a Marine or a Green Beret or whatever else. And when you're cut off from that and that security blanket, mentally it can be a real struggle. And for me, I stuck to my driver, which was I want to be uncomfortable. I want to learn something new. I want to be in a completely new environment that is unfamiliar to me and see where that leads. And so every day, and it still is, I mean, like the brains of the engineers I got, they blow me away. And so I'm constantly learning something new, and I'm constantly evolving as an individual, which would have been a much lesser extent had I stayed in the SEAL teams, And so I just felt like phase two of my life or whatever chapter I'm on now, I got to start over with a blank slate and just kind of fill it in. And so that the transition was fantastic. And I'm not one to really dwell on what I did in the past, right? So I made the decision to get out. Cool. Had a great time. Loved every minute of it. But I made the decision, and that's in the past. It's still a huge part of who I am. I mean, you know, just yesterday I was hanging out with some of the old SEAL Team 1 Vietnam vets and a couple other guys, and just having a cool conversation and rekindling a brotherhood that, you know, is as strong as iron. But that's just, you know, that's just, that's part of me, but it's, you know, I got a whole new horizon in front of me that I'm heading out towards, you know?
Do you see, I guess the sector in the world that you're in right now, like almost in slow motion compared to the pace that you were doing things with, you know, on the team? Like, I guess maybe it's not the right analogy, but I was watching the Tampa Bay Cowboys game, you know, last night, you know, and there's Brady, you know, and I'm sitting there and I was talking to my son. It's like, you know, the game is in slow motion to him. Like, he's seeing the game, you know, at a level that is, again, unfathomable, you know, to other guys out there. Like, everyone else is rushing and pressing and it's hard, and he's there making it look effortless, you know, with the skills that you have, and they're telling you come on and go, like, what the heck's going on out here? Yeah. Like, nobody's really like moving and doing.
No, I totally get what you're saying. And like, before we went to work, so the startup realm, particularly in Silicon Valley, there's a lot of similarities between that and the SEAL teams, in my opinion. In fact, enough that I did my master's thesis was on the similarities. You know, obviously different individuals. And there's certain things that are different, but it's a fast-paced, ambiguous environment, and it's high stress. And I think, and then before I jumped into that, working with some big old, you know, companies with big bureaucracies, yeah, that was like slow motion, exactly like you said. I mean, it was, you could see what's going to happen unfold in front of your eyes, and because it was just, there was never a sense of urgency in there, and it was, you know, very routine, and it was just painful, to be honest. The startup realm certainly is a lot faster paced. What I do really notice is the ability to handle stress and these, you know, I mean, something crazy happens all the time, particularly in a startup realm. And it was really funny, like taking a step back and watching people spin up into the ceiling over something. And, you know, JT, my business partner, I would just look at it and go, man, just, you know, take a deep breath and just look at the problem and let's get to the root cause of it and then fix it. I mean, it's not, you know, slow down. Don't get, you know, emotional on it. Let's just stop, take a deep breath, look at the problem, and let's solve the problem. And that certainly has been, you know, I think the SEAL team experience, that is a byproduct of that in the private sector. But yeah, so when it comes to interacting with human beings or stressful situations, it's certainly helped out immensely. You know, no question about it.
I mean, it seems so simplistic in theory, you know, of slowing down, breathing, working the problem, doing it, but obviously not simple, you know, at all in application.
No.
in all aspects. Is this also why, look, obviously, you know, you guys all stick together. You know, one thing that companies try to build culture, you know, we try to build good teams, you know, in the workforce, we try to, you know, build good sports teams. We try to put our kids in good situations where there's culture and there's camaraderie, you know, and there's bonding and there's, you know, all of those things. Where do we fuck that up, you know, compared to the way the way you guys have been so successful at doing it, because you stick together, the brotherhood, you know, is there. Obviously the achievement, you know, I mean, it's such an exclusive, you know, group to be in.
Yeah.
In there. But I guess, what do you see where we mess it up as men, you know, out here?
I think a lack of humility really become in business, certainly. You know, in the SEAL teams, when you go through training, it's hard and it sucks and it seems like it's going to last forever. And I don't care who you are, something in that training is going to be your Achilles heel, or you're going to struggle with it and you're going to have a bad day. And that's humbling, because you need to rely on your teammates to help get you overcome that hump. Or if you don't, if you try to be a lone cowboy, you're not going to be able to do it. And so you get humbled and you realize that, you know, I'm good at all this stuff. I suck at this, but my teammate here is really good at this, and he's going to help carry me through. And I helped him carry, you know, him through on this particular thing he struggled with. And so via that humility, you form a really strong bond, in my opinion. And I see in the private sector a lot more ego and look at me, as opposed to, looking at the team and the team together is going to be much stronger, much more powerful than a bunch of individuals. But people tend to look out for their own self-interest, and they fail to realize too often that, if they looked out at the best interest of the team, the company is going to be more successful, and they're going to walk away with more money, particularly in, Silicon Valley, where you're looking for the big exit, and taking your those shares of stock you get because they can't pay you enough, and turning that into real wealth. If you start getting greedy and self-centered and a lack of team, putting the team first, that success is never going to happen, And so I see greed and ego being arguably the two killers of any, they just destroy potential. It's sad. And it's hard to change it, because you can talk about it when things are on a sunny day, but when it's raining out and things are getting hard and the screws are getting put to you, people tend to revert back to that, self-destructive mindset. And I see that play out time and time again. It's unfortunate. It's really hard to coach through that.
Hey guys, super excited to have teamed up with Roan and proud to be part of such a great company and supported by such tremendous individuals. Roan's mission is to inspire one another in the pursuit of progress. Roan is clothing made for men, and simply put, Roan works for me, my family, and my lifestyle. They produce clothing that brings together a seamless integration of fit, form, and function. Clothing made for everything from the gym to the office. I am in the joggers constantly. Love those. I am in the gym wearing their clothing, the Mako shorts on point, their socks, fantastic. When I am wearing a shirt, the Rain, best out there. This is clothing that inspires men to live healthy, strong, and free. I feel strong. I feel confident. I feel stylish when I put it on. It has literally eliminated decision-making from my style. Boom. I go in there. I have exactly what I need. I put it on. I feel great. Day made. Clothing that helps me move forever forward. To learn more, support, and pick up some great gear from Roan and all of the other Midlife Male brand partners, go to midlifemail.com/partners. It's also probably what you're trained to take advantage of in situations. You mentioned, we talked a little bit about Silicon Valley and where you are now. And now you've mentioned, money and the ability to make more money. What is your relationship with money? I mean, you don't go into the military, for money. Mm-hmm. Spent 27 years in the military, and now again transitioning out of the military. I'm just curious, the relationship with money, and again how it equates to lifestyle and accomplishment, and what are the values that are really important.
Yeah, I think it's I've always been pretty frugal, so took my first reenlistment bonus, in 1994, and invested it in the stock market. Cool. So, I just by luck pulled it out before it crashed in 2000 to buy a house. It wasn't anything sage on my part. It was just good timing. But you do live a you make okay money. You can live on it for the most part if you're smart. But, you know, so I haven't really had the luxury of excess income over, you know, that whole career. And so I'm just not used to having it. So I don't freak out on, I need this huge salary. It's more than I'm making now or made, you know, at any time in my life. So I'm pretty cool with that. And, you know, you gotta, but yeah, that said, you do want to, you gotta put food on the table. And I feel like I owe my family, you know, a real hard effort to make more just because they had to suffer through my career and not being able to go on this vacation or that vacation or spend money on things they might want. And, you know, so I feel an obligation to make up for it. So that's kind of my driving motivation for it. But be just as content living, you know, off grid and some place in Alaska too, with, you know, bartering. But so I don't, it's nice to have. And I'm going to, and that's how I guess success at time, you know, in some way, shape or form is measured, or it's a measure of success in what you're trying to achieve. And so that kind of motivates you a bit. But you gotta be really careful with it, man. I see people lose their minds over it. And yeah, it's, would I like to have more? Absolutely. But I want to earn it and be frugal with it. But it can't be, you're going to be unsatisfied in life if that is your number one and primary motivator. You know, it's to me, it's just a complete lack of emotional intelligence if that's your driver. You know, it really should be achievement for achievement's sake, you know, not awards. And that's just a kind of a byproduct of SEAL teams. Like, guys don't, you know, okay, cool, I got this award, great. You know, I don't care. I want, you know, did I do the job right? And, you know, it's nice to get acknowledged and all that. But, and I think most of it's just money and awards and chest candy in the military. It's somebody else acknowledging that they think you're worthwhile. But honestly, my teammate going, hey, man, you did good on that. You know, or an employee going, hey, man, thanks for your leadership. That's to me a success, you know? But yeah, I don't want to, I'll take the money though, too.
Yeah. 51 now. Mm-hmm. Next phase of life. Okay. What do you want at it? I mean, we're talking, and again, family, you know, you touched on family, yeah. You know, obviously you're married, you have children. Okay. Private sector right now, touch on health a little bit, you know, how do you plan? I would assume, again, I don't want to make too many assumptions here, but I would assume you're a planner, okay, that you have a mission, you know, and there's a plan and there's a mission for this next phase of your life, personally, professionally, health-wise. And I'd love to just learn a little bit about that.
So, like, professionally, you know, it's a startup and it's chaos continually. You know, the collectively as a team, we took it from insolvent to, you know, doubling revenue year over year over year. And so I look at professionally getting this to what I would consider a good, you know, successful point, like a 2-year sprint, if you will, and get it to a point where I can stop and go, cool. Now it's time for somebody else to take this to the next level. Cause I know I'll be limited. I know my limitations, and I know how far I can take this. I want to get it to that point and then find the right person to, take it to completely a next level. And so, that'd be kind of the professional piece. After that, you know, in the prior to, I ended up doing a lot of, talking either with, an Iraqi interpreter I had, we tell our story, or to companies about lessons learned on leadership. I think, and I enjoy it because I'm a little bit introverted. It's stressful. You know, you get up there, that's where breathing comes in. It's amazing. Like, your heart's racing and then you take a couple of deep breaths. You're like, oh, cool. You get confidence and go out and tell the story. And so I enjoy that. So maybe after that, you know, the SEAL thing's cool and there's a lot of stories there, but then now I couple that with, private sector experience running businesses, you know, I think it makes an interesting, there's some interesting lessons learned there that I think are important to share. It's, you know, so maybe that professionally, health-wise, I just want to continue to, you know, now that I got to the root cause of the potential of heart disease, you know, that just refined the diet and activity to a level where, you know, I'm going to be 85, 90, not have Alzheimer's and still surfing. You know, I just want to be able to, like, for me, I have to be active. I have to be outside. I have to do the things I love. And, you know, I don't want to live life if I can't do anything like that. And that doesn't mean, like, I mean, you know, okay, if I lost my legs, I can still be active, right? You know what I mean? Like, I always want to be active, and the ability to be active and enjoy the things I want to enjoy. And so every decision health-wise, I make with that in mind, you know? And so it's, as I've gotten older and more injuries, just from overuse, switching the way I work out, you know, and that's, okay. That's it's sustainable long-term to, you know, do kettlebells and calisthenics. I can do that forever. Cool. I don't need to worry about snatching 200 pounds anymore. It's that, you know, check the ego a bit and go, hey, you know what? Sometimes going for a long walk is the right workout that day. And, where I used to scoff at that. It's funny. I don't know if you're familiar with, Dan John.
No, I'm not.
He's, man, he's a fantastic coach and, author. And, you know, he was a Olympic caliber discus thrower or hammer thrower and, Highlands Games and whatnot. But, you know, I would read him over the years. He'd always get referenced in CrossFit and different fitness areas. And I remember reading, like, oh, it's like old guy stuff. But it you know, like, I want to, you know, doing Fran, you know, in CrossFit is, that's much more hardcore. And so I ignored all the stuff he was writing about. But now as I'm a little bit older and wiser and you read through, his talking points, like, man, he's freaking brilliant. And what he writes about is, how to sustain fitness, you know, throughout your whole life. So I've started really, you know, I'm not sticking to the workouts he does exactly, but, really taking the principles he's espousing and, incorporating them into my workouts. I've been doing that for like probably since I got out, and man, it's like night and day with, pain, you know, just like my knees are shot, but, instead of back squatting, you know, a one rep max, take the 53 pound kettlebell and do a bunch of goblet squats with perfect form. And wow, lo and behold, my knees feel 100% better and I'm not in pain constantly. It's just more common sense. So I really, you know, for me, it's just longevity, mentally longevity, physically and longevity health. And, you know, that's diet, that's nutrition. And I think I have the code cracked on that. And, but I'll continue to collect data on it. That's why I love the op guys, because it's okay, here's your labs. You know, it's like, cool. Okay, this is working. This is working. Oop, I got to watch. There's something causing this. And I get kind of anal on it. I write down all my, what I eat every day and my workouts. I got the last 15 years of workouts collected. I mean, so I have benchmarks and it's kind of a little over the top, but it is nice to be able to go back and revisit and go, okay, I remember eating this way and, you know, my lipid profile was shit, you know? Okay, cool. Well, rule that stuff out. I'm eating this way and it's good. Cool. I've been working out this way and, you know, there's no pain. Great. Or I'm doing more pull-ups now than I was 10 years ago. Cool. Just trying to have frames of reference and benchmarks and being, you know, realize that, you're not going to deadlift what you did 10 years ago, you know, and be okay with that.
I think it is about being okay with some of those things and saying, okay, I can be a little bit more, show myself a little bit more grace. You know, I can take a more mature approach to these things. You touched on, you know, humility and bringing ego maybe out of the equation, you know, not in all aspects of life. And then think about the longer term in terms of sustainability and longevity. And there are a lot of different ways to be healthy. There are a lot of different ways to be successful. And I think that's a hang up for a lot of guys, you know, and I look at the takeaways. Okay. You know, if you're being hung up on going to the gym because you haven't gone to the gym for a while, well, you got to take the first step. And I can tell you that there's no more supportive community out there than the health and wellness. Nobody's laughing at you. Nobody's going to worry. Like, you may think you're looking stupid. Nobody gives a shit, you know, basically, you know what I mean? Like, in there, they're going to support you. And if you are out there and you're making the transition from, hey, you know, kind of flamethrower, you know, guy where you've been getting it, like, now your body's changing, things are different, and you've got to take a little bit off, you know, take your foot off the gas a little bit to go a little longer. Hey, people are looking at that too, and they're supportive of that. And that's also okay. As long as you are adapting and continuing to move forward. And as you said, slow down, identify the problem, you know, work the problem, you know, the challenge, and then let's go, you know, on that.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I think, the hardest step is the first one. But once you do that, you know, you realize, wow, you know, like just going for a walk after dinner feels really good. And, you know, maybe cutting out breakfast and just doing two meals a day still, you know, feels good. And, or it takes a little getting used to, but it feels good. But people need to take, you know, ownership though of their own health too. And just, you know, don't believe everything people tell you, man. Follow the money. The industry is, it's almost like it's designed to keep you sick, right? Because that's where the money is. And the food we eat, it's not good for you, you know? So, and then you're spending a lot of time in the hospital, but they're not getting to the root cause. They're giving you medicine to fix, you know, to mask the problem or make it a little bit better. And I think you just got to take ownership of your own health. There's enough information out there. The internet is a wonderful thing, dangerous thing, but it's wonderful. And you can really find a lot of good resources. You got to be careful, but you know, I think there's certain truths that whether you're like a hardcore carnivore diet guy or a hardcore vegan, there's certain things common to all in the diet, and like healthy fats, right? What are those? Well, it's not seed oils, you know, cut that out, cut out sugar, do those two things, man, like cut out canola oil, soybean oil, vegetable oil, and stick to, you know, either if you don't have the APOE3-4, you know, stick to coconut oil or tallow or olive oil or avocado oil. I mean, that change alone is going to get you healthier. And you cut out sugar, damn, you know, like you're already on a better step. And then get a kettlebell and swing it, or go to the gym, or go walk, or go do some sprints, or go play at the beach for a day. You know, just stay active, move, you know, just get up and move around. It doesn't need to be hardcore.
I think it's such good advice to stay away from the extremes. You know, you can stay away from the edges. Mm? There are things that you can do that are simple, and simple doesn't mean easy, but you can find this information out. You can listen to guys like yourself. There's plenty of information, as much as there's plenty of misinformation out there. But if you stick to the basics, and if you're able to, again, identify, you know, being active, you know, doing a little better than you did yesterday, whether it's 1%, you know, better, you know, moving a little slower, breathing a little bit deeper, being accountable, you know, to yourself, so that you can then be accountable and helpful to others, your family, your career, whatever, wherever else you're putting yourself. But one thing you touched on also that I think that is super important here is, you know, before you go jumping on anything, start with science or start with data. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, you learned a lot of valuable lessons, and you go learn by getting the right tests done, you know, and again, having the humility, you know, and the foresight, intelligence, I'm going to start here because I want to know what's going on in my body so that then I can decide, you know, if I know what's going on in my body, then I have a better understanding maybe what's going on in my head. I got a better understanding of where I'm going to, you know, where I should spend some of my money, where I should spend my time, do all these things, because it gets messy fast. If you don't, and then to your point, then it becomes much harder to work that problem, you know, slow down, work that problem, because you've jumbled it all up and you don't really have anything to work with.
No, you're right. And I mean, okay, I got it. I take things a bit to the extreme, but I'm passionate about it. And it's something I've always been passionate about. And so, yes, I like the research, the data in depth, I mean, over the top a bit. And I weigh my food and I'll take notes of it. But I enjoy that.
Yep.
But that can be intimidating for the average Joe going, well, look, do I got to be that crazy? It's like, no, you don't. Like, really, you don't. There's a few simple truths in nutrition, and research that and figure those out. And you don't need to be an extreme keto diet or paleo diet or vegetarian. It's just cut out a few things and add a few other things and then just move. Just do something. You're going to be better off.
It is. And it's the same. Look, we're passionate about this subject matter.
Yeah.
Because it matters. We enjoy it. It's fun. We geek out on it. Okay. And I'm not passionate necessarily about engineering. Right? I'm involved in a business that needs engineering. I'd like to know enough to be dangerous. Okay. But it's not my passion, you know, or my calling. Whatever anybody is passionate about, or great. But what we're also talking about is maybe rounding out some of the other areas, knowing enough to be, you know, to be dangerous so that you can be safe, you can be healthy, you can be all of these things. In there, you may not have to take it to journaling your workouts. You may not have to take it to counting your calories, your mat. You don't, you know, and I think people will overcomplicate all kinds of things, or that'll be their barrier to entry, thinking they have to make something complicated. And it was one of the things also that, guys, There are services that are out there that can save you a lot of this time, energy, and money. And we were out in Malibu for one with Opt Health. Listen, yeah. I am not a scientist. I am not a doctor. I am not a nutritionist. I am certainly not a Navy SEAL. I'm none of these things. But yeah. As a 49-year-old guy, or about to be a 49-year-old guy, who would like to live a little better, stronger, healthier, longer, where am I going to go? And if somebody like you turns me on to something, and as I know, has done their homework and has done their research, you look for people that you can trust, and you look for practitioners and services that you can trust to just, hey, give me the playbook, save me 5 years, you know?
Oh yeah. That to me is such a low cost, smart move to complement whatever medical stuff you're doing. Like, just to compare and contrast. So I wanted to get that ApoE3/4 test because I was like, all the research and study I did, I'm convinced that is the root cause of, or certainly one of the major root causes of why there was an issue. So I just asked my doc at the VA, I'm like, hey, you know, I'll pay for it. I just need a doctor saying, yes, it's cool to go do this test. It's like $20. And he's like, well, if you're that worried about it, just take a big dose of statins. I'm like, that is such a wrong answer, man. So then I go to the op guys, you know, Doc Simpson and Tidwell. I go, hey, here's my hypothesis. I've ruled out everything else, and I've looked at all my data and stuff over the years, and this is the one thing I can narrow it down to most likely, and I want to prove it. Are you cool with, telling the lab I can get this test? Absolutely. You know, no question about it. And then the results come back. It's what I think. It's like, cool. Let's talk about what the strategy is going forward. And I presented my strategy and they're like, perfect. Just do this and this differently. I'm like, cool. And wow, man, like that is what healthcare should be, as opposed to this just one size fits all, take a drug and be on your merry way. I mean, if I didn't question all that stuff and challenge it, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be dead. Mm. I mean, that's a fact, you know?
It's a great point. And we say, you know, look, there are a lot of guys out there also that are very successful in business professionally. And say, okay, you would never run your business the way you run your life. Okay. If you could start running your life a little bit more like you run your business in certain areas, okay, you're going to make decisions very differently. You're going to look for a different type of return on investment. yeah. overall in all these things. And what's great now is now we are starting to see businesses that are being designed to help you run your life. The businesses are being run the way you should be running your life. And they're businesses that are designed to help you live a better life. So this trend I like. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Seeing what's going on, you know, with holistic healthcare, seeing what's even being able to go on with open-minded practitioners, even telemedicine, the ability to access talent and access expertise and guidance and science and all of these things from wherever you are and be able to utilize it. Because while I think we're still outliers, to an extent we touched on again, what's affecting, you know, the vast majority of the population and why do people get sick and how do they get sick and how do they fend things off? But what I do see is I see some of the pendulum swinging for those of us that want to know, that actually really give it and want to do it, that resources are there to make investments again in those types of people, those types of organizations, and get the information you want. So you can be in that part of the population that's going to fend this other crap off, you know, and like, hey, we are missing that opportunity. We're not telling enough people. We're not hearing it from those that we should. But I do think that we are a percentage of the population that is continuing to increase. And people now are starting to seek out solutions. You know, they're starting to seek out ways to be helped.
Completely agree. I mean, I look at when I first started this part of the journey, you know, in 2005 and 6, like it was hard to find information. It was out there, though. But now it's so much more available, the different ways of eating and the data and science behind it, you know, and that's purely the internet and things like YouTube and Instagram or whatever else. But, you know, it's much more, and that information is much more available and people are more apt to talk about it. And I think, you know, because of that, I mean, when, you know, everybody's like this anti-vaccine crowd, I think it's, you know, it's not, I don't think it's a political issue. I think it's people are much more educated on their own health than they were 10 years ago. Or there's many more people who, you know, like I feel we've been sold a bill of goods, you know, from, you know, Ansel Keys all the way up to the McGovern Commission in the early 70s and the food pyramids and, hey, don't eat fat, it's gonna make you fat. And you know, but if you open your eyes, pick your head up from your phone and look around, it's like, goddamn, man, everybody in America is obese, you know? And, you know, while they're eating a low fat diet, good. Well, great. Good on you. I mean, look what the health damage has done. And so I think with people who have a little bit of intellectual curiosity and are willing to apply a little bit of critical thinking, you can look at that and go, hey man, what they're saying might not be the right thing. So just that alone for me was enough to question, go, oh, okay, how should I be eating? Or what should I be doing differently? And I can find that information. And so it's like, hey, they've blown smoke up our ass, whether intentionally or not, or, you know, whether their motives were nefarious or not, it's irrelevant. The end state was they were wrong, and they're wrong here and here and here. And what else have they been wrong at? Well, now they're pimping this vaccine. It's like, okay, well, I've already had the goddamn disease, so why am I worried, you know? And my vitamin D levels are high, and my insulin, I have, you know, zero insulin resistance, so nothing's going to happen to me if I get it, obviously, because I didn't know I had the damn disease, and I got the antibodies, so how'd that happen? You know, and there's more people, you know, maybe not to yours and my extreme, but that are kind of awakening a little bit and realize, this one size fits all is not, you know, every human being is unique in their own ways. And, so how do you get a one size fits all, health form? It's nuts.
It definitely is. And again, it comes back to, I think also how you approach, you know, gathering information, where you find your sources, how do you, again, determine who you want to listen to, you know, or not listen to? And again, we're not under any orders, you know, out here. We're not given an order that we necessarily have to follow it. Well, although you turn on the news someday and they may be coming, you never know, you know, based on what some people want to do, you know, there. But for the look, we have choices. We have freedoms and we have opportunities to seek out information and we can choose whether we want to accept it, okay, or whether we want to discount it, or whether we, you know, believe this piece of information or data, and we can keep going again down the road to determine what we want. And then you look at, who am I listening to? Who's living a certain way?
Yeah. Right?
Who's behaving a certain way? Who's responding to certain things differently? And oh, okay. And I said, and you look around, you go, let me look at general population. Okay. What's going wrong with the masses, you know, out there? Let me look at the quote unquote outliers that are living better, faster, healthier, stronger. Let me look at a 51-year-old guy who turned his health around by doing this, that, or anything. And okay, we have opportunity to pick our spots.
You know? Yeah.
Again, decide what we want to put in our bodies, on our bodies, how we want to go, you know, and do these things, you know, out there. And you try to be, I think, respectful of everybody's opinions, assumptions, judgments. But at the end of the day, also, I just feel strongly about this. Hey, like, I just want to do the best job I can for me, be the best that I can be for myself, so I can do it for my family, so I can do it for my, so I can be around the people that I want to be around.
Totally.
As long as I want to be around them. And hopefully leading by example, like you talked about earlier, you've done your entire career. I just do a good job and lead by example.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's good enough, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish, you know, people just need to just take a step back and observe what's going on around them better. You know, we're so buried in phones and, in technology. It's like, just stop and observe. Okay. And what you'll observe is a really unhealthy population. You know, it's almost shocking. So it's like, And then have a little bit of curiosity and critical thinking and go, okay, how did that person get there? How did that person get there? And then when you start just challenging the status quo in your head, and really open your mind and observe, then the world is, all that information is there for you to pick and form your own opinion and trial and error with yourself to see what's working and what's not working. But just don't, I mean, we're just a bunch of sheep, you know, blindly following the ass in front of us. And it's, stop, just look around and then form your own opinion. And there's data out there to help inform your thinking and try it. And yeah, you know what? It is going to be a little bit uncomfortable, and that's a good thing. You know, it's easy to sit on the couch and eat shit all day. That's comfortable, but you know, you need to be a little bit uncomfortable. Instead of having that bag of, you know, potato chips, have a couple macadamia nuts, maybe. Simple change, right? But it's, and you get used to it. But we become intellectually lazy and, just we are so blind to the world around us. It's unfortunate. And we're so polarized that, you know, you can't have a civil dialogue anymore. It's just, it's either I'm right and I'm going to prove you wrong. And there's nothing going to change that. And that leads to idiots, man. We got a nation of lemmings. They don't think and they're so convinced that their way of thinking is the right way that there's no dialogue. There's no learning anymore. And we're just, all right, man. Take your chances that way. I refuse to live my life like that. And I'm going to question everything till the day I die. It's just the way I am. I might be wrong a lot of time.
Afraid to embrace the curiosity. You're not afraid to ask the questions, you know, which is really, I think, at the heart of you know, what you're saying and what we're talking about here is just be open. Be open to ask questions, be open to exploring new things, be open to not the other person crossing you not being right or not necessarily being wrong. But I do love your point, and it's unfortunate that I love the point that it's here, but we've lost the ability to agree to disagree, you know, kind of civilly in there, because whatever your viewpoint is, now there is also somebody that agrees with you. You know, turn the channel or go to another YouTube thing or go to another, there's whatever you want to feel or whatever you want to believe or whatever you want to say, there's a platform for you to do it now. So there's no longer this, I think, impetus or understanding that, again, we can have civil disobedience. We can disagree. We can have a debate. Nobody's interested really in a debate anymore. They're interested in it's either my way and this group's way, or we're not. You're with me or you're against me. And there's no in between.
Oh, it's horrible. Like, and I learned that lesson really early on, fortunately. One of my best friends' dad, growing up, he, you know, old school working class guy. He was a socialist, you know, and it, you know, like that kind of old Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I grew up, working class socialist mindset. And I was always like a crazy libertarian. And the debate, this is like we're 15, like I'm 15, he's older, but we would have some spirited debates and talking and discussions. And it was awesome, man, because I got a whole new perspective. Because I listened to him, because I respected the hell out of him. He's one of the reasons I joined the Navy. He's absolutely been a mentor my whole life. And I couldn't disagree with him more at the time. He's since changed his views a bit, but I couldn't disagree with him more at the time. And he disagreed with me, but we would listen to each other's talking points on it. And you have some empathy, man. Okay, I understand where you're coming from. From your perspective, that makes sense. I don't agree with it, but I totally get why you think that way, and which is cool, man, because I still love you all the same, you know. It's and we don't do that at all, man. It's so pathetic. I mean, it's painful to watch. It's almost like, especially as a veteran, and where it's just kind of a pure meritocracy, in my opinion, and nobody gives a shit about politics or race, religion, gender, sexual orientation. I mean, it's just do the job, and you have different opinions, and you can have these arguments and disagreements and different opinions, and then bullets start flying, and it doesn't fucking matter. You know, you're going to give your life for that person if you need to, and that's just I feel like. Let down a little bit by the country with the toxicity that's going on, you know, particularly in the political realm. But I mean, you see it with COVID too. I mean, and that's more political than health at this point, which is unfortunate too. But there's hope, and it'll change. I think more people open their mind. You know, and my advice to anybody is just put the goddamn phone down for a while, go outside, and just be in the moment, observe. And just ask questions, man. Don't blindly accept the status quo. You know, there's some, when people have been in politics a long time or in power a long time, whether it's intentional or not, there's an ego and a sense that they are the be all end all, and the stuff that they're preaching or putting out or dictating, might not necessarily be correct. And so don't blindly, challenge them. I mean, that's the beauty of this country in particular. I mean, we were founded on challenging authority and questioning motives or actions and trying to find a better way. And I think we've lost that quite a bit, you know. And then the final thing to me would be, for anybody, would be to be okay being uncomfortable, man, you know. And it doesn't need to be like, you know, going out and doing, you know, 30 muscle ups and 100 burpees. It might mean, like, you know, turning the shower on the last minute to cold water and just stand there and take it. You know, it's not, it's not going to do any damage at all. It's beneficial for you. It sucks. But, you know, if you start your day with a shower, make it a cold shower at the end. And if you did nothing else that day, at least you took that cold shower. It's like Bill McRaven talking about, at least make your bed. You know, mm-hmm. You got that done, and that's sound advice, man. It's, you know, that cold water is uncomfortable.
It is.
Doesn't hurt you.
No, look, I love it and could not agree with you more. And we certainly could go deep. We have gone deep in a couple of different areas here, which I think is freaking awesome. But I want to ask you just to wrap it up. Last question here. What do you do for fun?
Me? I love to cook. So like watching Seamus cook and with that, like, I was like, I told him, like, dude, like I want to be you when I grow up. And then, so I, like for me, a decompressing is cooking. And then, you know, I love surfing. My kids are fanatical surfers. And so as often as I can get out on the water, like my daughter's out every day, at least once. And, you know, just surfing with the kids is the perfect thing for me to do. And then, you know, for fun, I love programming my own workouts and working out. We're going for a hike. You know, I love camping and going out hiking when I can do that. But it's for me the most convenient thing to do out here. San Diego is just run to the beach because, you know, 5 minutes away. So I do that. If I'm, you know, back home in Wisconsin, I'll be out fishing on a lake or doing something like that. But I like being outside when I can. You know, it sucks. I try to work outside when I can too, but like, just I'm drawn to being outdoors and I'm drawn to the water in particular, whether it's sitting on a boat or diving underneath it or just getting smashed by a wave. There's something for me that just soothes the soul. And terrifying at the same time, though. I mean, there's some challenging things there too. And it's fun to push yourself past your comfort zone in certain conditions. But yeah, I think for me, it's my whole life and for the rest of it, I'll need to be near a body of water of some kind. And that keeps me sane. And then if I just need to decompress, do a little bit of cooking, and I'm good. Read a book.
Sounds like a seal. Yeah, right. Jason Tushin, thank you so much for your time. And it's such a pleasure and a privilege to have met you out there, to have you on, to listen and learn and have you share some of your stories. I really, really appreciate it so much. This is
totally
fascinating to get, and it's just some insight into your world and everything that you've done. Thank you so much for your service.
I appreciate that.
Grateful. Jason, how do people find you? Also,
I'm on LinkedIn. So, you know, it's just Jason Tushin, you know, for LinkedIn. And then Instagram, it's Tushmush. So I'm pretty bad about posting stuff on that. I usually use it to follow others like you.
Well, guys, you have heard it right here. Midlife Male Podcast. Jason Tushin, thank you so much. So listen to what the man has said, okay? Listen to the episode, replay the episode, follow the advice, okay? Seek things out, ask questions, put down the goddamn phone, okay? Yeah. All of this stuff. Get out there in nature. Guys, any age, any stage of your life you're at, everything that Jason has said today is applicable. Just use it, man. Take care of your health, preserve your time, be grateful, be humble. I mean, all of these things, there's just too many takeaways for me to just list them all. So keep listening to this. And Jason, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andre.
Hey guys, before I started Midlife Male, I didn't realize how much we as men try to do it all ourselves. And while there's value in autonomy and being able to figure things out for ourselves, we can also save a ton of time, years in fact, and countless hours of emotional pain, stress, anxiety, and feeling like crap if we will just receive some help. That's why I have decided to open up a few one-on-one coaching spots. In my 90-day coaching, I will personally help you through the 6 F's model and bring the focus back to what matters most: family, fitness, finance, food, fashion, and fun. This is for you if you're tired all the time, you're anxious, stressed, and feeling weighed down physically, emotionally, and financially. You're not eating well, sleeping well, or performing well. You're not feeling, looking, and acting your best. Or perhaps you're doing all of these things, but you're redlining it all the time. Everything appears great on the outside, but on the inside, you know the engine's going to blow soon. I know this from firsthand experience, and I've had my fair share of challenges as well. I have lost my father in my teens. I have experienced the imprisonment of my brother. I have struggled with weight, alcohol, hair loss, body image, anxiety, financial strain. And at 48 now, I have regained my health, have become a top athlete. I have transitioned from risk taker to risk manager. I have failed and I have succeeded. I have been the guy who complained. I've been the guy who had all the answers. I've been the guy who tried being an entrepreneur. I've spent years working for a big company. I have been fat. I have been fit. I have great hair. I am now completely bald. I have had no money and I have had millions. And when I sit back and think about it, there are so many times that I wish I had someone to help me shed a light on what matters most and how to get more of that. But most of all, to help me see what I couldn't see, to share insight and experience on what I've already done, and to help me with what I want to do. So if you're hearing this and it speaks to you and you want to learn more about working with me, send me an email, greg@midlifemail.com.